Good morning and welcome to episode 10 of our live monthly Q&A session with Cinten's family team. I'm David Pritchard, Head of Marketing here at Cinten's. Just as usual, we will be answering three of the questions that you've put to us throughout the month. And our speaker today, as usual, is solicitor in the family team, Sophie Croft. So without any further ado, I'm going to pass you straight over to Sophie. Sophie, good morning and over to you.
Hello and welcome to the September version of the Family Law Q&A. So the three questions that I will be answering today are there set rules about where a child should live? Will I automatically receive 50% of all matrimonial assets? And how do I protect my pension? So firstly, are there set rules about where a child should live? So no. Where a child should live should be determined by agreement between both parties. Living and contact arrangements for a child may be dictated by one of the parents' work schedules. For example, one party may work less than the other and therefore can devote more time to childcare. Or both parties may work an equal amount of hours per week and decide that they would like a shared care arrangement for the children, where the children live with each parent for the same amount of time each week. Where issues arise in agreeing the living arrangements for a child, this can be resolved via private negotiation, through solicitor negotiation, mediation, arbitration, or as a last resort, an application to court to commence child arrangement proceedings. You can find out more about alternate dispute resolution options on our Cinten's website under the family page. The second question is, will I automatically receive 50% of all matrimonial assets? So unfortunately, finances on divorce aren't that simple, and it is not a straight cut the assets down the middle and each party takes a half share. If so, this would make the process a lot easier, but the court have various factors in which they use to consider how assets should be divided on divorce. And this includes such things such as the party's incomes, the resources available, the standard of living during the marriage, the age of the parties, and various other factors. So the majority of how finances are split on divorce is based on the party's need. So it may be that there are various factors that will increase one party's need more than the other, such as having the primary care of the children or one party having a lesser income. So these are all various factors which need to be taken into consideration when determining how the finances should be separated on divorce. And how they are determined is by exchanging full and frank financial disclosure. So it is clear what both parties have on the table, and then a solicitor can advise their client as to what would be a fair settlement. The final question is, how do I protect my pension? So this is presumably one party trying to protect their pension so the other party on divorce cannot make a claim against this. So a pension is an asset like any other which forms part of the matrimonial pot, and this can be taken into account when determining how the finances are split on a divorce. So there is no way, no hard and fast rule as to how you can protect your pension. And again, a pension may need to be divided on divorce on a needs basis to provide both parties with an income on retirement. It could be and is often the case that one party has been able to make significantly larger contributions to their pension than the other. And in this case, a pension share is usually required. And this would mean that one party gets a pension share of the other's pension to provide them with, say, an equal income on retirement. So they can both leave the marriage knowing that they are protected when they stop working and can enjoy their retirement with a steady income. For more questions and answers, please follow us on Instagram at Cinten's Family. And we will be back next month answering three of your other questions. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sophie. Enjoyed listening to that one. Just as usual for me, just a reminder that the firm is continuing to work hard to produce and deliver useful and relevant content, articles, blogs, podcasts, videos, all of which can be found on our website, www.cintons.co.uk, should you wish to take a look. You can also follow the family team on Twitter at Cinten's Family and on Instagram, also at Cinten's Family. If you'd like to discuss anything Sophie's raised today further, please don't hesitate to get in touch with her. Her contact details via telephone 0191 226 7878 or via email sophie.croft@sintons.co.uk. Our next session will be with you on the third Friday in October, and we're very much looking forward to engaging with you then. Can't believe we're on episode 10 already, and just thank you once again for the viewing figures. Totally staggered how many people are tuning into these sessions, so we generally don't take that for granted. Thank you very much for that, and obviously while they continue to add value to you, we will continue to bring them to you. So very much looking forward to speaking to you again in October. Thank you on behalf of Sophie and I. Stay safe, everyone, and we'll speak to you next month.